I have always loved to push the little reset button on the trip odometer after we take a vacation and put lots and lots of miles on the car. I love to see the little plump zeros just full of possibilities of new adventures staring back at me from the dashboard. All the miles of burning gas and burning oil and wear on the tires and trash on the floorboard, especially when you travel with your kids. It's all worth it just to see it disappear with the push of a button. There are still miles on the car, to be sure. But the buildup of one period of time gets wiped away. Today, our gospel in Luke reveals to us another kind of possibility that is full of new adventures. Jesus, the Redeemer of the redo, the Messiah of the reset, the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies and promises. Luke says Jesus was in his hometown visiting his home parish, and he was given the opportunity to read from the Torah. He was handed a scroll from Isaiah and began to read. But what he read, we know now, was not really contained in that temple scroll. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, this is an amalgamation of several verses in Isaiah with some poetic license from either Jesus himself or the writer of Luke, because it comes from all different places in Isaiah. Either way, when the reading was over, he gave the shortest sermon ever. While all eyes were fixed on him and breaths were held, "The reading I just read about God's promises, well, today it has happened." Boom, drop the mic. What Jesus is preaching is good news to the poor, the prisoners, and the oppressed, and the disabled. It is easy to think of Jesus helping to bring justice to those who do not have a voice. And he certainly strove to do that all through his ministry. But I think it's vitally important for us to see the bigger picture of what Jesus is saying. He means that all of us are prisoners and oppressed. Wait, I'm not in shackles. I'm not oppressed. I'm educated and employed and respected. And yet without Jesus, I am still in a prison of my own making. One of apathy, blindness to justice, unrealized greed, and overconsumption. In our reading today, Jesus says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled." Not in the future. Not next week. Not after I'm dead. But today, right now, Jesus is actively reaching out to zero out our human trip odometers. He is forgiving us for the years and years of sin. Sin is such a sticky word, especially for Episcopalians. Fiery preachers and TV evangelists have made it into kind of a cartoon of a topic. But the reality is, sin is simply not being aligned with God's vision of the world, that of justice and mercy and love. I had a seminary professor, and I know I've told you about her before. She's the one that looked like Professor Snape from the Harry Potter lore. She wore academic gowns, and she had really severe black hair that was parted in the middle. Her favorite subject, of course, was sin. She loved to regale us with all the ways we sin every day and don't know it. I'll spare you the list, but the summary is that it's really easy to sin and never even be aware of it. Not caring for the earth, wasting resources, participating in transactions with companies that have ties to child labor or unethical practices or cruel to animals. According to her, you can't take but a few steps without stepping into at least a small puddle of sin. All that talk of sin began to irritate me after a while, and I began to dislike her and hold a grudge against her, which was a sin. It was like gum on my shoe. So I talked to my spiritual director, and she said, you know what you have to do? You have to pray for her. And I did. And one day in her class, I was just bubbly as can be. I had been reset. I had been forgiven, and then I could practice forgiveness and tolerance and help to do the work that Jesus wants me to do. In the last line of Jesus' alternative scroll reading from today, he is referring to himself when he says that he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Greek word that's used here is ephesis, and it refers to the Jubilee year that's talked about in Deuteronomy. Apparently, God's people, every 50 years, were to forgive debts, and they were to let slaves go free and let fields go fallow, and people of service were returned to their homes. The image derived from this word is restoration, beginning, faith in God, and conviction that the structures of social and economic life must reflect God's kingdom. The word ephesis is also a word used in Luke for forgiveness, like of our sins. For Luke, the proclamation is that Jesus in God has fulfilled these ancient promises, has brought forgiveness. If you've ever flown and listened to the safety speech given by the flight attendants before takeoff, you'll know that in the unlikely event of loss of cabin pressure, a mask will drop from the overhead compartment. Place over nose and mouth and breathe normally. Please secure your mask before assisting others. Why? Because if you pass out from lack of oxygen, how are you going to help all the people around you that may need help? God promises to send a Savior to bring justice and equity. Jesus was that promise, and his work is still going on because he left us to do it, to empower the powerless, to bring about the kingdom of God. And we can't do that until we claim that promise first, the promise of the Jubilee year, to be forgiven, to have the slate wiped clean, to live in grace. We must only claim what is being offered to us, a hard reset, a chance to watch the piles of numbers on our human odometers turn into plump little zeros of possibilities, full of hope. Amen.